We're talking about puppies this morning. What can these precious little balls of fluff teach us about our spiritual lives? Well, you'll find out this morning on Wake Up With Hope.
We also will have health tips from Live It, music by Endless Praise, and a devotional by Pastor Mark Finley. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We can't wait to kick off today's program.
That's right, friends. It's a lovely Friday morning and we are so glad you chose to start your weekend with the love of Jesus. Do you have any special plans this weekend? Send us a message on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us know. We'd love to know what you're up to.
Yes, we do. And you know, we have much to share with you today on today's program. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1935, T.E. Lawrence, known to the world as Lawrence of Arabia, dies as a retired Royal Air Force mechanic, living under an assumed name. The legendary war hero, author, and archaeological scholar succumbed to injuries suffered in a motorcycle accident 6 days before. Lawrence was instrumental in the war between Arabians and the Ottoman Empire. Though he was born in Wales and was British, he had a real heart for the Arabs. He traveled there in his free time and learned the language and culture. He joined the British military and became the liaison for the Arabs, being renowned for his role in the Arab revolt.
You know, friend, we have a sure liaison between us and heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, there is a beautiful picture painted of what Jesus wants to do for each one of us. In verses 1 to 4 and verse 6, it says the following words.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to Joshua he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here."
What a powerful picture. You see, while Satan stands to accuse us, Jesus stands to redeem us. You know, Jesus longs to cover us in his robes of righteousness. He longs to free us from sin and transform us into something beautiful. We only have to choose to walk in his ways and to trust in him. So friends, won't you trust in him today and be free?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? I know I do. But did you know these fluffy little fur balls can teach us something about our Christian walk? Let's find out what it is on today's Bible and Christian Living episode.
Do you remember your first dog? Mine was a brown and black German Shepherd puppy. To me, he was the cutest pup in the whole world, and I called him Darcy. Oh boy, did he have a lot of puppy fun with me and my family. But not long after we got him home, he stopped eating, so we rushed him to the vet, only to be told the worst news possible. Darcy had caught parvovirus, and he was dying. I remember clearly standing in the vet, holding my dad's hand, when they brought Darcy out to see us. He looked sad and frail. When I called his name, Darcy's face lit up and his tail wagged, and he looked at me with a big happy smile. I thought he was getting better, but the vet said, "No, he hasn't got much time to live." Later that night, we got that dreaded phone call. I ran outside to where Darcy's kennel was. The strange feeling of sadness came over me, tears streaming down my cheeks. I climbed inside Darcy's kennel and cried. Mm-hmm. I found out later that the one thing that could have saved Darcy from the virus was to get him vaccinated. It was a hard lesson to learn as a little boy in love with his first puppy. The world we live in is infected with a deadly virus. It's killing millions and millions worldwide. I'm not talking about the common flu virus. I'm talking about something called sin. The Bible describes sin as disobedience of God's life principles. It's because we have disobeyed these life principles that we open ourselves up to experiencing pain, suffering, sickness, and ultimately death. Is there a vaccine for our disobedience? The Bible says the result of disobeying God's life principles is death. Well, that sounds final. It also continues the thought by saying, but the gift of God is life through Jesus. You see, there is a remedy, a vaccine, and it's a gift to you. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe your struggles in life are truly unbearable. The pain, the sorrow, the guilt, the regrets, are they weighing you down? I remember when my dad was on his dying bed. My older brother sat next to him and said, "Dad, forgive me for everything that I have done wrong to you and Mum." My dad's words were, "Son, I forgave you a long time ago." All these years, my brother carried this burden of guilt, not knowing that he was already forgiven. The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered." You see, you are blessed when your wrongs are forgiven. It's like a heavy burden being lifted off you. You feel free, and a sense of peace settles down deep in your heart. This is a hope that brings you comfort, knowing that even though you don't acknowledge God, he still loves you, and that everything already has been done to help you and me, even before we accept him into our lives. Just like our first puppy, we didn't get him to the vet in time, but while you have breath in you, there is still time to receive God's vaccine, which is found in discovering Jesus. And the best way to discover Jesus is to do something very simple. Pick up the Bible and read it. Everything you need are between its pages.
Coming up after a short break, our friends from Loma Linda will be here to share insightful health tips with us. We'll also have music by Endless Praise.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And of course, you can search for us on YouTube as well. Check out our channel there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's a warm and lovely morning on Wake Up With Hope. We're enjoying spending this time with you.
Right now, our good friends from Loma Linda Health are back to share health tips with us. Friends, what should we know for optimal health? Find out right now.
What if I told you that one out of every five pregnant women in the United States goes to bed hungry? Now, what if I told you that because they went to bed hungry, their babies are now prone to have a chronic disease as an adult? And not only that, but their grandchildren as well. This unfortunate fact is a huge problem.
On the other side of the spectrum, one out of every three pregnant women is overweight. This again has the same negative effect. Their children and their grandchildren will most likely have a chronic disease.
Oh no!
Dr. Lawrence D. Longo of Loma Linda University Health is one of the world's most respected specialists in developmental physiology.
His research on maternal health has been funded by the National Institutes of Health for the last 50 years.
Today, we all know that smoking while pregnant has a negative effect on the child. Well, we can thank Dr. Longo for that. His most recent research has been focused on nutrition in pregnant women.
It's a very sobering reality to think in terms of how something that happened during one pregnancy can have effects throughout several generations. One finds a host of diseases related to the cardiovascular system, hypertension, heart attacks, strokes, to aspects of metabolism, type 2 diabetes, and now the whole panoply of neuropsychiatric disorders which are showing up.
Dr. Longo and his team of researchers have studied how protein deprivation during the course of gestation will have these effects on one's health.
I think that as a society, we should give more attention to pregnancy and early life and development.
Now that we know what the consequences can be as our children become adults, we can't stress the health advice enough.
Eat a balanced diet with enough protein and nutrients. Take a prenatal vitamin every day with folic acid and DHA. And if you're overweight, try as hard as you can to get a healthy weight by the time you conceive.
To quote one of my friends at the National Institutes of Health, every pregnant uterus is a center for excellence.
There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
After this short break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Findlay.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought.
The book of Proverbs is not some theoretical book to place on our shelf and pull off occasionally to debate about. The book of Proverbs presents practical principles for living. Our proverb for today is in Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand." In other words, often we have plans and make plans for ourselves. But if we'd spend a moment trusting God, He will give us guidance and direction. In verse 27, it says, "Cease listening to instruction." That's the instruction of God's Word, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the wise counsel of others. "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you'll stray from the words of knowledge." In other words, God longs to give us guidance. Now, there are four essential principles of guidance in Scripture. Now, have you ever wondered, with the bewildering array of voices in our world, how you can ever receive guidance from God? There are four principles of guidance. First, God guides us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. There are times that we will pray, and God impresses us through His Spirit what we ought to do. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally." So God impresses our hearts. Now, what's the difference between a divine impression and a fleeting emotion? A fleeting emotion often comes very quickly, and it's gone. A divine impression is a growing, constant awareness that God wants us to do something. So impressions can be very definite. They're very certain, and they last. Emotions are fleeting. Now, the more important the decision you have to make, the more it's important to take time to make that decision. I don't have to take much time to decide what kind of tie I'm going to wear today or what kind of shirt I'm going to wear. But if my decision is on marriage, if my decision is on a life vocation, if my decision is on moving my home and my whole family from one part of the country to the other, that decision is made over time as we seek God in prayer and listen for the impressions of His Spirit upon our heart, the deep convictions. But that's not sufficient enough, because at times we may confuse our human ideas for God's plan. Isn't that what Proverbs is saying here in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21? There are many plans in a man's heart. In other words, I might have an impression to do something. It may be my own plan. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. So how does God guide us? He does guide us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. But God also guides us through the instruction of His Word. So I want to be sensitive to the Word of God. I want to ask God, is there anything in Your Word that will give me guidance here? John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So is there something in the truth of God's Word that will guide me in this decision that I'm going to make? Two young people come to me and they want to be married. One of the young persons is, the young man is a committed Christian. Maybe the young woman is not. What counsel do I give them? Well, certainly I give them the counsel to wait. I offer them the opportunity to study the Word of God with them. But I remind them as well that, as the book of Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so I help them to understand the wisdom that comes from God, that He wants to guide them, but He wants them in His Word to be agreed, because if they're not agreed spiritually or religiously, they will have constant conflict. Thirdly, God guides us through the providences or circumstances of life. There's a lot of time that God opens a door, and we know this is the time to move through it. Other times He shuts the door. So how does God guide us? Through prayer, the impressions of His Spirit. How does God guide us? He guides us through His Word. He guides us, thirdly, through providences of life. And lastly, God guides us through the counsel or instruction of others. I have seen this in my own life. Specifically, I was not brought up in a Seventh-day Adventist home. But as I grew older, I was 17 years old. My father was a Protestant. My mother was a Catholic growing up. And when I was 17 years old, Dad had become a Seventh-day Adventist about 4 years before. And I was struggling with a lot of decisions. I loved sports. Played basketball on the city league teams, both for the YMCA and our city leagues. And there was one occasion where we formed a team from the city that was to play in the regional championships. Now, to play in those regional championships was what was called an elimination tournament. It meant that you went to the tournament on a Wednesday, practiced on Thursday morning, you played your first game Thursday night. Then you played another game on Friday or Friday night, then semifinals on Sabbath and Saturday, and finals on a Saturday night. I couldn't wait to go. I was so excited about going to that tournament. And, you know, I had never traveled much before. We didn't come from a family that had a lot, so I didn't travel. And I thought staying in a hotel, you know, I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. And I said, my, and to eat in restaurants and to travel, to stay in hotel, I'll probably never travel any place in my life if I turn this down. And I was just excited about going. I had just begun studying the Bible with my father and with other Seventh-day Adventists, had been to some evangelistic meetings, and I had accepted the Sabbath. But I rationalized in my mind. I said, you know, well, I will go, but if we don't win on Thursday, I'm going to come home anyway. And if we don't win on Friday, I'll come home. But all of a sudden, it was nagging at me, you know, nagging at me that I was compromising in some way, because I knew that if we won those earlier games, that the pressure would be on and I have to stay. I will never forget that day. You know, there are some things that are just indelibly impressed upon your mind. I went to the Norwich Free Academy, which was one of the larger high schools. We had 3,200 students in our high school. There were 500 in my class, 500 kids in my class. And I was coming down the hallway, and we had payphones in the hallway, and I thought I was troubled about this. Should I go? Should I not go? I was looking for the guidance of God. And I remembered an old lady in our church, very godly, Frances Parisi. And I went and I called Frances. I said, Frances, I'm really struggling with this decision. Can you help me? I'm supposed to go and play basketball with my team, and we go on a Thursday, but I don't play on Sabbath, and we go on Friday. But then if we win those two games, we'll be playing on Sabbath. And I'll never forget Frances' words. She simply said to me, Mark, what would Jesus do? Who do you really want to please in your life? Your team or Jesus? Thank you, Frances. I knew what my decision was going to be. I knew that I had to please Jesus. And I told my team that I was not going to go. And you know, I've sensed that God leads you to the right people to get instruction from. Find some wise, godly counselors in your life. Not people that'll tell you what you want to hear, but people that'll share with you the truth of God, and you will be a blessed man, a blessed woman.
Thank you so much for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, maybe rewatch a segment during the weekend or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gian Olive, music by Don Singh, and much more.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Yep. And we don't want you to leave without our sharing our daily Bible promise. And this one is for the weekend. It's found in John chapter 14, verse 8.
It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
I love that verse. It speaks to our hearts. You know, friend, the Bible is filled with these beautiful promises from God. Our loving Savior promises to never leave us. He promises to always guide us, always be near to us. And all we have to do is reach out our hands and say, yes, Lord, take my hand. Come to me. I want to be near you and live in your presence.
Amen. Praise the Lord for those strong promises of hope that he's given us today. And so we pray that you will keep these amazing promises in your heart this weekend. And we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, how good is to call you Father. To know that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We will never find ourselves orphans. We will always have you by our side to depend on, to protect us, to care for us, to provide for us, and above all, to fill us with hope. So we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers today. Thank you for filling our heart with so much love from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.